Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Galatians chapter 1, I'm just going to read a few verses here. Paul writing to a church that he was the father of, really, pastor of, I guess. But he said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." I want to talk about one gospel tonight. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to be back in your house. And thank you for your word, for the truth of your word. Lord, tonight let us just hear what you say in your word, in the scripture. Let it find good ground in our heart. Let it just build us up and solidify us. And Lord, just help us to have our hearts fixed on you and on your gospel and on this truth tonight. We're going to praise you for all of it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord tonight. He's good. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. One writer said that we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. A faith that was once delivered to the saints, and we must earnestly contend for that. Somebody, something is trying to get you off that trail of following the Lord. As a pastor, you see it a lot. If you've been in church any while, you'll see it a lot, that people who came in at a time where they really needed something, their life was in turmoil, it was a wreck, and they come in and feel the love of God, receive that mercy of God. They find a place in an altar of repentance. They believe the gospel. They obey the gospel. They're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They come up and they can't think of anything better than this ever in their life. They're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And then sometimes shortly thereafter, and sometimes even years thereafter, they walk away. They depart from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to understand. I don't get it, but I understand that this world is full of seducers and deceivers. And Christ told his disciples in Matthew 24, in the end of time, he said, "Beware that no man deceive you." Sometimes we need to have enough confidence in our walk with God and in what has got us to where we are that we can, if we are at school or on a job or we work somewhere where there are other people who are Christians, that but they don't exactly believe like we do, that we don't give in to that and surrender to that and say, "Well, you know, they're so good, they must be right. And so maybe this thing I've been doing is wrong, and then maybe I just need to not be so dedicated, and I need to not be so consecrated, and I just need to say, hey, I'm a good person, and God loves me, and I'm going to make it, and everybody's going to make it," and walk away from a truth that dug them out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And Paul was, I believe, feeling this concerning this church in Galatia, because after these people had been baptized, received the gospel, and had been baptized in the name of the Lord, they'd been washed from their sins, filled with the Holy Ghost, there were some that came in. He said, they're trying to preach another gospel, but it's not another gospel. And he said, and they want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They want to distort it. They want to change it. They want to say, what you're doing is not necessary, or here we need to add some things to you. And there were those in that day that wanted to, after they had begun in the spirit, Paul would later write that they wanted them to now try to be perfect in the flesh and to go back under doing the works of the law. Paul was not against the law. He understood that Christ didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And but he said, these works, these things that they're talking about you doing, are done away with in Christ. And you are not now made perfect through the flesh after you have begun in the spirit. He would ask them later, who is it that's hindering you? You did run well. You were on the right course, but somehow, some way, somebody got in your mind. We got to be careful of the voices that we listen to. We got to be careful about the influences we listen to. But be careful. Every podcast ain't good for you. Every influencer on social media is not influencing you in the right way. Every friend or buddy or bestie may not have your best interest at heart when it comes to serving God. And we must understand that there is one gospel. And we should not have to sheepishly declare that because we're afraid that somebody's going to get upset with us. I'm not saying be ugly and mean with it, proud or egotistical with it, but facts are facts. And the Word of God is the Word of God, and it tells us that there is one gospel. And so we need to beware of false gospels, easy believism. No consecration, no dedication, no attendance, no giving, no fasting, no praying, simply saying, I believe. Being a good person, that's good, but being a good person won't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't wash your sins away. The gospel is the saving power of God. What is the gospel? If you define it from the Greek, it means good news or a good message. Paul would mention the gospel 73 times in his letters of the New Testament. I think the gospel was important to Paul. I think he wanted to remind the saints of God because his letters were to the saints. Preachers preach to the unchurched the gospel, but Paul would remind them of the significance of the gospel that they had loved and obeyed. And why he did remind them so much of this, and probably one of the most often quoted references of the gospel would be what he wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul would say and declare, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to be who I am in Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel that was preached to me that changed my life. I'm not going to bow down or cower down to the world because they don't believe the same gospel that I believe. I'm not going to fist fight over it. I'm not going to cuss anybody over it. I'm not going to cut them out of my life over it, but I'm not going to bow down to their watered down version of what the scripture actually says. Because I want to hear him say, well done. And I want my kids to hear him say, well done. And I want my grandkids to hear him say, well done. And so I'm going to stand for the gospel, the only life-saving gospel that the scripture declares. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone, this is how good the gospel is. It's to everyone that can believe it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm thankful for the gospel. He didn't say I'm not ashamed of a gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It means there's only one. One gospel that we can believe in for salvation. Now this is what the gospel is capable of. It's the good news. The good news, the message of Christ. But what is the message of Christ? What does that mean? Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If I can get there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those first few verses there, Paul describes what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So it was a message. It was words that he preached. He said, and in this gospel which also you have received and wherein you stand, stand fast therefore, by which also you are saved. So the gospel is the power, the preached gospel is the power for men to stand and for them to be saved, if they will keep it in memory. And that means more than just I can remember what the preacher said. You have to keep it. You have to settle it in your heart. Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I'm not telling you anything. Paul didn't do anything different than we have to do. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. It was all in God's plan, death, burial, and resurrection. You're going to see that in just a minute. It was all according to God's plan. Scripture. What scripture is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets. He's not talking about the Gospels. They're not even written yet. And so he's talking about this thing was already declared. It was set in motion. It was already going to happen from the foundation of the world. And this is what he was telling them. This is what the gospel is. We receive this gospel, we can stand, we can be saved, because I delivered unto you the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So in this gospel, this one gospel, this is how we stand in this world. This is how we get through this world. This is how we are going to be saved. And it's no wonder that Paul would be concerned and warn the saints about false gospels. And it's no wonder that pastors stand up week after week in different places and preach this same gospel over and over again. And he said, oh, it's just he's just preaching the gospel again. I've already obeyed that. But yeah, there's a lot of people that have obeyed it that somebody sneaks in and steals it from them. And pastors and preachers and evangelists are trying to warn saints of God and encourage saints of God. Hold fast to that which you have already received. Hold fast to what got you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hold fast to the things that wash the sin out of your life. Hold fast to those things because you can't let them go. Because it's easier to let them go and blend in with the world than to try to hold on to them sometimes and mix that company. It won't happen. It won't work. We've got to stand fast and we've got to preach this gospel. We must be saved. We must be saved. That is the point of the gospel, salvation. It's not about entertainment. It's not about promotion. It's not for billboards and bumper stickers, friend. It is for the soul of mankind. It is for the preaching of salvation. And that is what the gospel is supposed to be about. And that gospel of Jesus Christ makes it possible. It cannot be changed. It must be preserved. It must be passed on. It must be preached. But it cannot be changed. And the gospel that Paul preached in that day, and the response to that gospel in that day, must be the same today. If the gospel doesn't change, then the response doesn't change. Hello? There are people that, oh no, I know the gospel, yeah, it don't change. But your response has changed. That's what happens when men got involved. In the first century, they preached the gospel. People repented. People were baptized in Jesus' name, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. In the fourth century, they said, we don't want to do that no more. Let's create a new doctrine. Let's create things that divide people and separate people and get them to pray like this and pray like that and be baptized like this or not be baptized at all. Let's change the response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just bring the gospel down to, hey, if you believe, you'll be all right. But that's not the gospel that the church started with. That's not the gospel that the key holder, Peter, was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven by Christ himself. And it was Peter that stood up and preached this death, burial, and resurrection on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Friend, let me tell you, it's the same gospel today, and the response must still be the same. This is who we are. This is what we believe. And if you love your friends, if you love your family, this is what you will tell them. You won't just say, oh yeah, we're all going to get there. Because that's not what they preached. And that's not what we preach. Don't be ugly with it. Don't fight people over it. Don't belittle people's faith where they have started. But help bring them to a knowledge, a fullness, a knowledge of truth. Paul said, this gospel, I got it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people need a revelation of this gospel. They've heard things, little things here and there in church. Maybe they don't really read their Bible, but they've heard this priest and that priest, and it really touched them. They didn't know what to do. They were emotional, so they did come pray. And maybe they were even baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost, and they've been doing their best to live their life right. Somebody needs to come along and tell them, here's the gospel. This is what you need. And if there is only one gospel, there can only be one response. If the gospel hasn't changed, the response cannot change either. This gospel has always been. As I was studying today, I just kept putting little subtitles above each page. If you don't understand and know this gospel, the reason we can say there's only one is because it is the everlasting gospel. The fourth century can't declare an everlasting gospel. But Jesus, his gospel was an everlasting gospel. In Revelation 14 and 6, John said, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. This was going on in heavenly places. He saw an angel having the everlasting gospel to preach. He had one gospel to preach unto them that dwell on earth. To every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and people. There was one everlasting gospel to preach to all the people. The word everlasting in the Greek means it is past time. In other words, time can't contain it. It means the complete past and the future as well. Everlasting, never ending. That is why there is only one gospel, because it has always been. That's why in Revelation 13 and 8, John said he saw the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, there ain't no gospel without the Lamb that was slain. And he was slain from the foundation of the world. The gospel is the everlasting gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of that Lamb was in God's mind at the foundation of the world. This gospel has always existed. It is the gospel of the unchanging God. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the Lord, the one Lord who said, I change not. In Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same at the foundation of the world, and he's the same into eternity. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is Christ the Savior. And friend, his gospel is just one gospel. It is an everlasting gospel. So when people come around and start trying to tell you that here's how you obey the gospel, just believe and you'll be fine. Just repeat this and you'll be okay. Just be a good person. Because they mix a little bit in there, just enough. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in church. I believe in prayer. They throw just enough in there to make you think that they're like you. But before you know it, you don't even resemble what you were when God changed you. It happens quick. It happens quick. But in the gospel of Christ, there are elements of salvation that are contained in the gospel of Christ. And they're the only, they're just elements of one. There's only one Lamb of God. And it's Jesus Christ. John 1:29, John declared him to be so. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the gospel of Christ. There's that name. There's only one name in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, in verse number 10, Peter was talking about a man that a great miracle had been done in his life. He was healed, and he said, be it known unto all you, the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, he just preaches the gospel in everything he does. Jesus Christ, him crucified, raised from the dead, death, burial, resurrection. Even by this man does this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. He's become the head of the corner. But neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is salvation in no other name, this one Lamb of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But there's another element of the gospel that people try to dissuade us on and say is not necessary, and that's baptism. But you can't have the gospel without the baptism, because you can't have the gospel without burial. And we are buried with him in baptism. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, this is what the Lord said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the everlasting gospel. That's what the angel was saying. And then verse 16, he said, and the response will be the same. Or should be the same. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It is the responsibility of the preacher of the gospel to lead people to the response of the gospel. Don't just preach it and say they'll get it. Lead them to it. When they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent. Be baptized. Every one of you. He didn't say, well, just believe. You'll get it. At Cornelius' house, when he saw that they had received the Holy Ghost, he commanded them, now be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah? The eunuch, when he heard the gospel preached, when he saw water, he said, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Because baptism and salvation go hand in hand. And since the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, you can't preach the gospel without preaching baptism. You're leaving a component out. That's why Peter would say, 1 Peter 3, chapter 20, verse 21. He was talking about the days of Noah. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. He didn't wash them away while they were building. But he said, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not just about you stopping doing evil. He said, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, you're doing what God commanded. You have a clear conscience to God that you have obeyed his word. That's why when Jesus came to John and said, I need to be baptized. He said, ooh, I need to be baptized by you. He said, just let it be so for now. It has to be that we fulfill all righteousness. I've got to go ahead and do this. I've got to be the example here. I've got to do this thing. So he was baptized of John, even though he was sinless. He had no need of repentance. He didn't need to repent. He didn't have sin in his life, but he did this so that we could say, well, Jesus was not baptized. Jesus didn't do this. He said, the things I do, you're going to do. And so a lot of them were also baptized by John, but then were baptized again on the day of Pentecost in the name of Jesus, because there is one gospel, and it is still repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is still the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that is that one gospel. There cannot be a different gospel for every denomination. There can't be a different gospel for every country, for every culture, for every people, for every opinion. Can't be. There can only be one gospel, because there is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. There is only one. God himself manifested himself in the flesh and dwelt among us. There's only one God. There's only one gospel. There's only one name. There's only one gospel that is going to be preached to every creature, and that is the everlasting gospel. That angel's flying around in heaven right now with that everlasting gospel to preach to every creature. If you read it, you would read about Jesus Christ and him crucified and rising from the dead. That's what you would read about. And he would say, your response needs to be buried with him in baptism, repent of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Ephesians 4 and 5 makes this statement, one Lord. One, yes, one. One Lord, one faith. Well, that makes sense. If there were two Lords, you could have two faiths. But there's one Lord. If you had three Lords, you could have three faiths. You could have faith in each one of them. But he says, let's make it simple. There's one Lord and there's one faith and there's one baptism. If baptism is so insignificant, why not say one Lord, one faith, one church? One Lord, one faith, one body. One Lord, one faith, one earth, whatever. But he said, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, because those are connected in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is one everlasting gospel. There is one gospel to be preached, and it is the gospel that we preach now. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. All of these are contained in the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. One Lord is Jesus Christ who died. One faith, Paul said, our faith stands in the power of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. So one Lord, one faith, there it is. There's Jesus Christ who died. There's the resurrection. One baptism, Romans 6, we are buried with him in baptism. Death, burial, resurrection are in Ephesians 4 and 5. And baptism, as Peter would write, doth also now save us. It doesn't doth also now publicly declare our faith. Doth also now become a ceremony that everybody gets to come and attend. Doth not also now make us feel better. It doth also now save us. Because you can't be saved while you have sin. And you can't get rid of sin until you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so that the blood, the holy blood of the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, until you go down in that water by faith in his name, your sins are going to stay on you. You need the name and the blood applied in the water. That's the gospel, friend. This is why Paul said, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to preach that more than anything. He referenced the gospel more than he did anything else in his letters. Because he said, yeah, all this other stuff, it fits in with the body, it fits in with the church. But if you forget what saved you, if you walk away from what saved you, if we're not telling people what saved you, That's why I said, "But and such were some of you, but now you are washed, baptized, but now you are washed, you are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." This is why Paul would preach these things. I'm watching the time. There are people that would want to tell you that Peter and Paul preached different gospels. But Peter and Paul only preached one gospel. And they preached the same gospel. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, we know what he preached. Why did he preach that? He preached that because that's what the Lord told him to preach. When you read the Great Commissions, he was there. Probably the one that really lines up so good with it is in Luke chapter 24, and we'll get to that probably in a minute. But the only reason Peter preached what he did on the day of Pentecost is because he was not just an eyewitness to what happened. He was an ear witness. He saw and he heard. He saw what Jesus did. He saw what he went through. He saw him die. He saw him buried. He saw him resurrected. And he heard his instruction. And he remembered that Jesus had given him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus said, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into or see the kingdom of heaven. So Peter, I'm giving you the keys. You're going to unlock it. When the day of Pentecost fully comes, you're going to preach the message, and you're going to take those keys, and you go, with that message, you're going to unleash this on the world, the life-saving gospel on the world. Don't worry about the thief on the cross. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection wasn't being preached yet. Different dispensation. Jesus had power on earth to forgive sins. So it was no problem for him to look at that man and say, "Today you can be with me in paradise." Don't try to say, "Well, he wasn't baptized." Right. He wasn't. But God had been bringing baptism along all through time. The days of Noah equate to it. The children of Israel were saved by baptism. At the banks of the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation. Yeah. See the salvation of the Lord. And it says they were all baptized in the midst of the Red Sea. And what happened? They were saved from what was chasing them. Just like you'll be saved from what's chasing you if you go down in that water in His name. Praise God. But so Peter preaching, repentance, baptism, in Jesus' name, infill of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's preaching. That's the gospel, his death, burial, resurrection. So Paul says this in the book of Galatians. Let me get back to it in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me," in other words, the gospel that I'm preaching, "it's not after man. For I neither received it of man, and neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul said, "I didn't have a little experience and go find the rest of the apostles and say, 'Hey, so what are we supposed to be saying now?'" When he got the revelation of Jesus Christ, then he knew there was a death, burial, and resurrection. And he understood that this was the Christ, and he understood what the Scripture said about Christ, and he knew that this was the gospel that he was going to be preaching to the rest of the world. And so in verse 18, he says, he didn't go up to see Peter till 3 years later. I didn't go find the key holder and say, "Hey, give me your notes." 3 years later, he said, "I went up and I saw Peter, and I hung out with him for about 15 days. It says that the church, in verse 23, "they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now he preaches the faith he once destroyed." What faith? Faith of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and His resurrection from the dead. That's what He was persecuting. He was terrorizing them, telling them it didn't happen. He did not raise from the dead. You're spreading these lies. You're trying to start hysteria in the land, and we're going to wipe all of you out, until Jesus stopped him and said, "I am Jesus that you persecute." And so what does Paul start preaching? Well, look in Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I believe Peter preached about the Holy Ghost. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So he says unto them, until then, what were you baptized? Oh, baptism ain't important. No, just the man that wrote the majority of the New Testament asking this question. How are you baptized? And they said, we were baptized under John's baptism. Paul said this, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Repentance, baptism, Holy Ghost. See where he's going. He said they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The gospel was the same. The response was the same. The gospel that Peter preached was the same thing that Paul preached, and the response was the same. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The same thing that happened when the day of Pentecost fully came, the same message that was preached in the 19th chapter, years later from the day of Pentecost. Years later, Paul is preaching the same exact thing. And guess what? He said, I got it from the Lord. I didn't get it from man. I wasn't taught it by man. Peter didn't get his gospel from man. He got it from the Lord. They both got this from the Lord at different times, but guess what? They got the same message because there's only one gospel. They both preach it. And I'm going to move on because I know I've got to... keep going. I'll run out of time. And then I flipped the page. I said, well, I could went on a little further with that just to prove some things. Because a lot of people want to talk about what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. And that whole chapter is just a good message and study and teaching on itself in Romans chapter 10. But Paul did not write Romans chapter 10 to cancel out Romans chapter 6 or to do away with Acts 2:38. He wrote this message to the church, to the saints at Rome. And I've talked about this before. That letter was not to the unchurched. So you can't go to the unchurched and just tell them to repeat some words out of chapter 10 and they're going to be okay. To be calling on the name of the Lord. Paul did not coin that phrase. Joel writes that phrase in his prophecy of the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches it, rehearses that, and preaches it on the day of Pentecost. On the day that Paul was baptized, Ananias told him, why are you tarrying? Arise, be baptized, calling on the name, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So calling on the name of the Lord is a reference to being baptized. So anybody that just says, I can call on the name of the Lord, I'm going to be saved, that's not what that means. That's not like I'm about to wreck my car and I call on the name of Jesus and he saves me from dying. He's talking about salvation of your soul. And so anyway, but now... I said it, if there's one gospel, then the response is the same. So obey the gospel. The existence of the gospel, no matter how powerful it is, it does not automatically save us. Obedience to it does. In 1 Peter 4 and 17, Peter said, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, the saints, the people of God. And if it first began at us, those of us who have believed and obeyed the gospel and are living for God, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What's going to be the end of those that don't obey? What's going to happen to them that don't obey? But they believed, but they didn't obey. He said, what will be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And believe it or not, belief and obedience are not the same things. We use very simple things to illustrate this. I can believe that the speed limit is 55. But when I go past that sign at 75, I'm not obeying what I know to be true. I know it's 55, but I'm in a hurry. So I'm going 75. And then you keep running like that long enough, you'll pay for it. They'll get you. You can't just say, I believe. You must obey the one gospel, the everlasting gospel of God. Romans 10 and 16, again, Paul. Here's that chapter that everybody wants to talk about, that Romans road. Well, if it is a road, I've always said it ain't even a road. But if it is a road, then, friend, it runs right through the middle of the gospel. He said, Paul was talking about those that preach the gospel. In verse 16, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So belief and obedience must be hand in hand. He said, they have not all obeyed it because Isaiah said, who has believed? The expectation from God to us is that if you believe the gospel, you will obey the gospel. That's why Jesus made the statements he did, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Because he knows if you preach the gospel, there should be a response to the gospel. And you should say, you will repent, call on the name of the Lord in baptism, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the one gospel. Even in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, he said the gospel profits nobody. It's powerful, but it profits nobody if it's not mixed with faith. He said they heard it. Wasn't the gospel preached to them as well as unto us? Oh, yeah, it was. The gospel was preached to them, but it would not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. What is faith? Faith without works is dead. Oh, you're saying we're saved by works. Nope, we're not saved by works. I know that it is by faith through grace that we are saved. I understand that. Baptism is not a work of the flesh because man did not create baptism. God did. You know, in John's day, Jesus asked a question to the religious folks of that hour. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or did it come from man? Uh-oh. Well, if we say of man, they're going to get us because everybody holds John to be a prophet. But if we say it's from heaven, it's going to be like, then why didn't you believe him? We cannot answer. And that's the way things happen today. But this baptism in Jesus' name is not from man, but it come right from the Lord. It came right across his lips. It came right out of his being. It came right from him into his disciples. Friend, let me tell you, and if they ask you today, is the baptism that you're talking about, is it man's baptism or is it from heaven? Then you just don't hold back. Say, it's from heaven. Because it's the everlasting gospel about the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Peter, he had the keys, but he didn't think up. I wonder what we could do to get people. Hey, what if we roll them around in mud? What if we drag them through the sand? What if we drop them out of a tree? Hey, no, we couldn't even have thought this up. But God had already done it with Noah, yeah, and with Moses and Israel. When they crossed into the water split, they went through the midst of the water to get into the promised land. I mean, over and over again, there's just shadows and types of baptism through the scripture. We're not saved by works, but baptism is not man-made. It was given by God manifest in the flesh. Matthew, Mark, Luke all record baptism as part of the Great Commission. Every Christian church is all about the Great Commission. But there's a great omission in their commission. They need to preach the gospel, the one gospel, the everlasting gospel. And we see the obedience of the disciples to the commands of the commission recorded in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the actions of the apostles after the instruction from Jesus. It's their action, the action they took. What did they do? That's why you read Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is death, baptism is burial. the gift of the Holy Ghost signifies new life, resurrection. Well, is that what Jesus told them? It's exactly what Jesus told them. Look at Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49. Oh, let me just get up here. So he's getting ready to leave them, and he says, "Then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scripture." The Scripture that Paul referenced when he was talking about how he learned about Christ and about the revelation of Christ and the gospel. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day," crucifixion, death, resurrection, "and now that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise, Holy Ghost, of my Father upon you, but tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Did Peter preach what Jesus said to preach? Jesus said, "Preach repentance and remission of sins." Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the promise of the Father that you have heard of me." In John chapter 7, in verse 37, Jesus would make this reference. "In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." There was no Holy Ghost. Nobody was being filled and speaking in tongues before the day of Pentecost. It hasn't happened yet, but Jesus was making a reference, letting them know that that was going to be coming. You can come to the music tonight, and you can stand with me tonight. This is just teaching. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in here hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name. But you need to be seriously considering that. Because if you're going to be saved, you're going to need to be. If you're going to make it to heaven one day, you're going to need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, I don't know, I wrote this kind of as a conclusion. I just wrote it at the top of the page, this gospel. Before it was a message of words, it was an act done by the Almighty God, our Savior, for the saving of souls everywhere. That act of being manifest in the flesh, crucifixion and death, burial and resurrection from the dead. Before it was ever a message preached, it was what he did. If he'd never done it, there'd be no gospel for us to preach. But here's the thing about this gospel. That act was and still is so powerful that simply the preaching of it, followed by obedience to it, will result in the remission of sins past through faith in his blood. Being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of adoption into the body of Christ, making us the sons and daughters of God, crying, Abba, Father. The gospel, the act, what he did for our salvation is so powerful that simply the preaching of it can still today, over 2,000 years later, can produce a response that will wash away the darkest sin, that can turn the light on in the darkest soul, that can fill any vessel with his Spirit and bring him into the body of Christ. That's how powerful this gospel is. That's why there's not 2, 3, 4, 5. There's one gospel, and it is the power of God unto salvation. There is only one God, and there is only one gospel, and that's our path to salvation. So, as Paul warned those people in Galatia, if an angel of heaven come and preaches any other gospel, then let him be accursed. He said, if I come to you and preach another gospel, then let me be cursed. if your best friend, if your co-worker, if your schoolmate, if your significant other preaches to you another gospel, then they're bringing a curse on themselves, because there is one gospel, and it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and obedience to it is the salvation of all mankind. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.